You're listening to the Open Wheel Spectacular Podcast. Here is your host, TJ Buffenbarger.
On this edition of the Open Wheel Spectacular Podcast, I sit down with Oswegan Speedway's $30,000 man, Mike Bowman. Bowman recently won four feature events over 2 days at Oswegan, two at the Southern Ontario Sprints, and two with the Action Sprint Tour. Bowman and I sit down to discuss his transition from modified racing to sprint cars, if St. Catharines, Ontario is a racing hotbed, and a variety of other topics. So without further ado, here is Mike Bowman. Well, Mike, first of all, I've got to congratulate you on this past week. What a way to have a midway point in your rookie sprint car season to pick up not only four wins, but $30,000 on top of it, man. That's incredible.
Yeah, it's pretty insane. We didn't expect that. We think every week when we show up, it's all within reach, right? But to have a dominating performance like that is pretty special, especially, on night two, we faced some adversity. We had a front axle failure on starting lap two of the qualifying. So I ripped off a good enough lap to, I think we ended up P2 overall. And then, by the time I was backwards in the top of turn two. Wrecked. So I'm kind of hanging my head out the car to try to see the board, and we hung on, and they redraw the top eight out of time trials, locked in the top 16. So we had our spot in the feature and got to fix the car and thankfully brought her home.
That's pretty amazing. It's kind of interesting. You have a backstory that's kind of familiar to us that we've seen other people do, where you came up from the modified racing. And you did well in modified racing. Did you race anything before modifieds, or was it just, did you go right into modifieds?
No, I raced a lot of go-karts growing up. I started racing dirt oval go-karts at like 11. Did that for a few years. Then we did a lot of asphalt road course stuff in the go-karts, and continued that on for about another 10 years. And, then I kind of didn't do much when I was 24 years old, so it would have been 04. And in 2005, we bought ourselves a Dirt Sportsman and kind of hit the ground running. We won opening night our rookie year in the Dirt Sportsman car, won the championship at Merrittville in 08, and then moved up to mod and rookie of the year again against Matt Williamson, if you can believe that. And we just, kept going with the mods, got, like 20, 25 wins at Merrittville over the years, got a championship, got a Humberstone championship. And, in auto racing, it's kind of all about winning. And, when you got to battle Matt Williamson every week to try to make headlines, it certainly can, beat your confidence down. It can beat your team's confidence down. So, we were looking to maybe make a change went from there.
Was there anyone that kind of convinced you to go sprint car racing? Like, who did you talk to? Was there someone that maybe made the tipping point to where you wanted to do that decision? You make that decision, go sprint car racing?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. So, when I was racing Sportsman, my buddy Travis Cunningham broke his leg. So my first modified ride was because a guy broke his leg. Well, fast forward to 2020, my buddy Terry Baker breaks his leg. So that's how I got my first sprint car ride. And then, I would have to say Terry Baker for sure broke the ice on my sprint car move. Our first time out, in the sprint car, we ran third. I even had a look at the lead, but that kind of exceeded our expectations. And I think the next race, I raced for Terry, we finished fifth. And then it was like COVID. We weren't racing a lot. But, by 2022, they had really tipped the scales at Merivale towards this W16 engine and allowing 100-pound weight brake and sail panels if you run the engine. So they're really trying to give the guys that invested in the Spechead 358 deal, we feel like they were trying to give us a hard time. And when I won the championship there in 21, I pretty much told Spies at Merivale if he went through this sail panel deal, then that I wouldn't be back. And I haven't been back since. And we kept it modified and started out at Ransomville full time in 2022, and then got going with the sprint car. And we were just having so much fun racing sprint cars that it's gone from there.
Now, when you're comparing the modified to the sprint car, we've seen a lot of guys come out of modifieds and be successful in the sprint car. What is similar about driving them, and what is the biggest difference?
I would say when it's the biggest difference is when it's tacky. You can really use the brakes to keep the car kind of tensed up and turning. You can do it in the modified a little bit too, but it just seems to be, a sprint car is way more stable, like on a rough, fast track than a modified. Like the fast, rough stuff really grabs the modified and it'll throw the nose over and put it in a push. And, you get kind of bouncing and hopping in a modified if it's really tacky and rough. But yeah, I'd say that's kind of the biggest difference. I mean, the modifieds are beasts, right? They're 800 pounds more, and the small block horsepower is somewhat similar to a 360. But yeah, just kind of a bigger car and less tire.
You mentioned you started out in the sportsman class, which means you had some exposure to the crate engine before coming over to the crate engine sprint car. And that's, you found a lot of success in that. Do you think there was a little bit of an advantage there that you had exposure to running that engine prior to getting in the sprint car?
I would have to say the only thing would maybe be that I knew how to change valve springs, but I rely on lots of good people to, you know, pick the best carburetor that we can get. I got that set up from Jamie Turner at DSE and Dale Stroud up there. They got a nice deal with the right side throttle conversion on it. And I don't know, like, other than that, I mean, what do you do to a crate engine?
I meant like, but driving it though, does it have, did it make
driving it? If you lift or, I'd say you maybe have to react a little quicker, because if you lift, it's not like you can find some bite, get back on it and make up for lost time. You maybe have to be a better momentum driver when you're racing crate motor cars. But other than that, I don't know if sportsman really helped me as far as racing crate sprint cars.
Gotcha. So I'm looking at my win list here, and it's like you caught fire in July. Like, it seemed like your purse popped up with the win in June, but then in July, man, you really started to come on. What did you find? Like, what did you find mid-season you think that made the biggest difference?
I can't say anything really different. I mean, early on in the year that we battled some track conditions. Had the one night I had arm restraint slide down my wrist and take us out. I couldn't move my hands, but as far as finding something, I don't think it's any one thing. I think the more we race, the more we refine things, and the more everybody kind of knows what we're going to do for the night. Like, just when you win races with the same group of guys, everybody's just gelling and everybody's involved and you know, making decisions on the night. You know, I got, I don't know, 5-6 guys at the track with me on any given night, and I got three of them that are up to the edge of the track and back to the trailer, and up to the edge of the track and back to the trailer, like keeping an eye on track conditions and everything. And it's just, I don't know, it's just a culmination of using all the information that's available to you on a race night and making the right decisions. Because, like, I mean, ultimately, you know, the separation in speed is going to be different driving skills and human error on setup. That's kind of what makes cars go around the track at different speeds. So, I just think it, when you got a group of guys that are all pumped up and super focused on race night, great things can happen, and you can get on rolls and really start, you know, racking them up. But at the same time, Lady Luck can show up and derail your whole thing, and you can get in a slump. So we don't take anything for granted. Just show up and do our jobs and hopefully come home with a smile on our face.
And now you've started to come on in the 362. You were on a pretty good tear there with the crate, but now you're waiting in the 362 and you're doing double duty. How crazy does that make your night trying to run both those cars?
Oh, I hate it.
Really?
It's terrible. You don't get a chance to take a breath. It's tough to really describe. They're just pretty chaotic, especially when you're putting the crate car into the tech barn, and then you got to jump out and get in the other one, and you got to wonder if you got everything done, or like I say, that qualifying wreck in the 360, we thrashed on that car. We had to make one good axle out of two, but to make the feature and get it set up right and everything. And then when we went out in the crate rate on night two, I was hanging like super loose for the first five, six laps, and then we caught a red, and it was just a different car when we went green again, and I was able to mow him down.
Interesting. So
I was really wondering if we'd forgot something on that crate car just because of all the chaos, but
makes sense.
Worked out, thankfully.
Yeah. So do you think with that answer, which division will you might lean towards doing if you have to pare it down to one?
I love racing anything. I mean, if you wanted to go sailboat racing tomorrow, it's like, let's go race sailboats then. It doesn't matter. It's the competition that we love. And, the speed, it's kind of irrelevant to me. It's not like I'm a speed freak. I want to race a 360 just because it has more horsepower. You know, I just want to go to good races that draw lots of competition and pay enough money to put a little bit back in the kitty when you're done hauling all the way there and hauling it all the way home.
That makes sense, which kind of leads me to my next question. You know, you've been doing really well at Oshawegan this year. What are the chances that we might see you at some other races, maybe even in the United States this year or next year?
If we didn't have to go to Brocksville tomorrow for this AST National Series, I think we may have gone to Ransomville tonight. But I burned the candle at both ends with the family and racing so much. That it's also, it's pretty awesome to have a Friday night, to just, go out for dinner with the family and, spend some time with my kids and the wife and, they're 4 and 5, right? I mean, that time flies by so quickly, and, racing is pretty unforgiving as far as how much time it takes out of your life if you want to run well. So, I just think in the best interest of life balance that, tonight we just leave the horses in the stable and focus on tomorrow.
Next year though, might we see you outside of Canada a little bit?
I don't know. I'm not driving that bus. Glenn Stires is heavily involved with our 360 program. That right now there's very little in the way of crate sprint cars outside Ontario. Can-Am is, I think, the only track really running 602 crate sprints. You can't count Glenn out on anything. He's a very inspirational guy, and he's got lots of ideas, and he likes to be spontaneous and go do stuff. So I'm not ruling it out, but that's next year. We'll talk about next year in November, I think.
St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada. Now, when it comes to Canadian racing landscape, I'm not as familiar. I love Canadian sprint car racing, but is St. Catharines a racing hotbed, or are you kind of like, do the neighbors think, like, what is this guy doing? What are these things?
I mean, St. Catharines is kind of it's the hotbed of modifieds, for sure. Bicknell's, less than a mile from my shop where I'm talking to you right now. They're on Cushman Road. We're over on Bunting Road. Matt Williamson's shop's just down the way at his dad Randy's place. And, you know, it's there's been a lot of good guys come out of St. Catharines for sure. Maryville's been a very competitive place to learn how to race modifieds against the best. But, you know, lately it just seems like, you know, that's not what they're into up there. So, you know, we've pulled out. Williamson's pulled out. Lindbergh's pulled out. Slacks have pulled out. Brackman's not full-time there anymore. Rudolph doesn't come over. So, you know, it just seems like the level of competition's cooled off up there. And we're not sure what the MO is.
Like 3 years from now, what would you say your goals would be in the sprint car? What would you have liked to accomplish in the next 3 years?
Right now, I would say, you know, a championship at Oswegan. Right now we're leading the points at Oswegan. So we got 2 points races to go. We don't have a big lead. So, if we can win the championship our rookie year, that's incredible. I didn't come into this expecting that at all, but in 3 years, I don't know. It'd be good to win a race outside Oswegan in the 360. That'd be a reasonable goal. I came pretty close there at Maryville, as fast as, or a little bit better than the leader. And, kind of got run around by a lap car and impeded some progress there. So I think that'll be our first goal outside Oswegan, is just, you know, win somewhere else first. And then, like I say, that Ransomville race would have been cool tonight, 'cause I got a lot of laps there, but, and, you know, maybe travel around. And met a fella at PRI from Wisconsin. He said there's like a really cool race weekend they have there at the end of the year. So it's for 360s. So I don't know, it'd be a cool road trip. Go up there and check out some new tracks. No idea where it's headed yet. But try to keep my feet on the ground and not set the bar too high, because, you know, if you're not achieving your goals, then you can get frustrated.
Final question. You seem like a guy that seeks out competition. You want to race against the best, whatever you're doing at. And coming up here in September, you've got the Canadian Sprint Car Nationals, which is the race in Canada to win. What would it mean for you to win that race?
Oh, that's a big one. It'd mean a lot. It would be really the cherry on top of just an insane season. We surprised the hell out of ourselves this week. So I think we're going to be a contender. The track is usually super slippery. That's what we've been thriving on here the last, three races. So, we're looking forward to it. It would mean a lot. It would, you know, see where it goes, I guess.
All right. Well, Mike, I really appreciate the time. I hope you, even though you're in the race shop, enjoy the night off with the family. And best of luck on Saturday at the crate race.
All right. Thanks, TJ.
Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to the Open Wheel Spectacular.